Morning, Sam.
Morning, Anne.
Morning, recovery people everywhere. Hamish is out in the garden, up to no good.
Hope everyone's well. This is from Opening Doors Within, April the 21st. There is a place for each individual in the world, but you must seek and find where your place is and where you fit in. If you are afraid to take this responsibility of bringing in the new, do not try to stop those souls who are willing to do it. Realise that those souls who have been trained and inspired to undertake this task will do so, for it is their work. Find your rightful place in the whole vast plan. And if you are not in the front line, do not let it disturb you. Remember, all sorts of people are needed to make up the whole. Simply accept your specific work and do what you know you have to do wholeheartedly, and allow those souls who have been placed in the position of leadership and responsibility to go ahead. Give them your full backing and complete loyalty. They need it and appreciate it. Lift up your heart in deep love, praise and gratitude for them, and always give of your very best.
Mm.
It's interesting, isn't it? You know, finding our rightful place and finding where we fit in. And, you know, in the past, past 6 years, you know, we have done something useful. I mean, we both worked before, and we did a good job, but there can't be much more useful than helping other alcoholics stay sober, showing them how we stayed sober. That really is a massive primary purpose, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Which most, you know, it's really, you know, given to people like doctors and nurses and, you know, care providers. But we can say something that will influence someone else.
Hmm.
By using our experience, strength and hope. And that's quite, you know, it says in that book, don't worry if you're not on the front line. We are, really, aren't we? When we think, you know, life and death matters sometimes. And
experience, strength and hope's a bit of a, you know, it's like, how do you share strength?
How they've got through things. Well,
that's experience. What's strength?
Well, they're saying how they got through things by using a power. Power is strength.
I was thinking that, you know, it's like you can share your energy.
Yeah, your power. How you tap into
your experience, energy, and joy.
Your vibration.
Experience, energy, and joy. Always experience. Strength and hope. You see, you're giving people hope.
Yeah.
You're not sharing hope.
Well, it's shared, isn't it? Because you're sharing your hope with other people. They're getting hope from you.
But you're sharing your results, your experience, to give other people hope.
And
share your strength to give people strength. Share your energy.
And also giving people, you know, they if you're thinking like we're energy and energy vibrates and energy waves vibrates with other people, we can, you know, if you pick up a good vibration from that person, you might ask them, whoever's sharing, to be your sponsor, which has happened to you quite often.
Mm-hmm. Why is experience so powerful?
Because it gives them identification.
Because it's facts, real.
Mm.
It's not theory.
No.
You know, it's lived, you know, results, experience, facts, proof, evidence.
This spiritual life is not just theory. We have to live it.
Aye. This has been my experience.
And that's better than reading.
And when people caveat what they're going to say in the meeting, you know, by saying, in my experience, I think that's useful. You know, in my opinion, or in my experience,
We like experience, we don't like opinions.
Yeah. My opinion, which is based on my experience, you know, the whole 12-step movement fundamentally is based on, you know, a shared experience.
Mm.
You know, one alcoholic to another addict.
I think that's why in sponsorship I really like to say to them, I know exactly how you're feeling. Mm. I've been where you've been. I know it's really tough at the beginning, you know, but in my experience I've found that this has really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I do this, which was told how to do it to me, you know, I learned, then you can have a good life.
Yeah. I'm stronger.
Yeah.
As a result of my experience.
And
so I'm hopeful.
It was a bit like, you know, someone was sharing yesterday, you know, you don't have to understand everything. If you just take off your blinkers and just actually do it without even thinking, oh, I've got to do this routine every day. You know, try and drop the resistance. Just do it. And then you'll see the results.
Mm.
And you won't really understand why, but...
Pardon me, what are blinkers?
Like horses when they've got blinkers on, so that they stay in a straight line.
Mm. But isn't that a good thing?
Yeah, so put on the blinkers, not take them off.
Focus on your recovery, ignore everything else.
Stay in your own swimming lane, mm. Don't worry about what anyone else is telling you, mm. You know, just listen to the suggested things.
Don't be distracted by other people.
Yeah. You know, someone's phoning up saying, mm. Yeah, it's Dunkerton's retrogressive groove mm. party tonight. No, I'm staying in my lane.
Aye, it was, what was it again? Retrospective House. It was right up my street, you know, music-wise. And
what sort of music's that?
Well, it's sort of like 90s, early 2000s house music, you know, Ibiza. You don't know me, you know, or, I don't know, it's hard to, I don't know any of the artists, I know all the songs, you know,
right.
You know, the, radiate me tonight, and I'll see you. The real light and the love. All that stuff. And it's like.
I like that.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Did you have a nice evening?
Very pleasant. My coffee cake.
Yeah.
It was a triumph. Wasn't. It was coffee and pecan. Cake.
It was delicious. It's just different.
I made a cake.
It's different, and you know, you could go. You could have gone if you really wanted to, and you could have really enjoyed the music.
Mm.
But
I'm retired. You know, it's just I'm just done with that.
You know, if you were younger, you'd still go. You know, there's no reason if you're in a fit spiritual condition why you can't. But
no, I just didn't. See it. I think that, you know, alcohol and drugs helps you get over, you know, feelings of insecurity and self-consciousness and big events like that, you know, and mm. When you're completely clean and sober and there's a lot of people around you, you know, who are high and inebriated, it's you don't find a way to, I don't know, you know, it's like, I just thought, I don't really want to go.
I'm quite excited that we've got, you know, some new tunes coming to our camp pension.
Oh yeah. We're
going to have a sober rave.
Yeah, yeah.
Woohoo!
Around the campfire.
Yeah.
Not in the, you know, in indoors.
So, if there's anyone not from this area that hasn't had flyers yet, it's going to be on the AA website. you know, on the events news.
We're evolving.
So I think this sometimes goes out to Reading. Remember our lovely friend?
We're going from school disco to 90s rave.
Yay! And no one will be drinking or using. So it will be just us.
No.
All the people that, you know.
Just generating our own energy.
Yeah, and it would be cool. And we should get up and dance and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. Experience strength in house music. Right, Big Bill sees it. 269, when infancy is over, these are two letters. One from 1950, one from 1949. You must remember that every AA group starts, as it should, through the efforts of a single man and his friends, a founder and his hierarchy. There is no other way. A bit sexist, but they are. But when infancy is over, the original leaders always have to make way for that democracy which springs up through the grassroots and will eventually sweep aside the self-chosen leadership of the past. And then a letter to Dr. Bob. Everywhere the AA groups have taken their service affairs into their own hands, local founders and their friends are now on the sidelines. Why so many people forget that when thinking of the future of our world services, I shall never understand. Pardon me, the groups will eventually take over and maybe they will squander their inheritance when they get it. It is probable, however, that they won't. Anyhow, they really have grown up. AA is theirs. Let's give it to them. Remarkable. You know, so that's 1950. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? You know, that, you know, we've got our mobile phones and our, you know, texting and WhatsApps and emails and this instant communication environment we live in, you know, and these two guys started, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous in 1935, and 15 years later they're communicating by, you know, writing letters, you know, sitting down and putting pen to paper, and you know, that 15 years into the project, you know, they're looking at you know, this organization that they've created being run by, you know, the lower ranks, the people who've come on board, you know, and letting go of their own.
I think Bill, looking down, would be quite happy now, don't you?
He'd be amazed. Mm. So no, that was 1950, and he died in 1970, I think, or 69. Dr. Bob died a few years after, I think it was 1953 he died.
Bob died before Bill, didn't he?
Bob died in 53 and Bill died in 69, but you know, the idea that they've created this incredibly successful thing and they make no money out of it, they don't get rich out of it, they don't get any kind of public recognition for it, and then they create a organisational structure that is based on, you know, this inverted pyramid where the groups control everything.
Mm. It's very unique, isn't it?
Mm. Well, I'm going to intergroup later today, I think. I think it's today. It is today. You know, so I'm part of that. Mm. You know, and here we are in 2024. So those letters were, you know, 74 years, 75 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And, you know,
and it's held together.
And he's, you know, it's been in, the big book has been translated by his very generous legacy of not getting rights for the big book. Mm. So they've used that money to translate the big book into so many different foreign languages. Mm. I think that's amazing. Very generous man.
Mm.
You know, we're very fortunate, weren't we?
I think
and you know,
they didn't have children, did they? You know, him and his wife, no. Lois, you know, and I think, you know, that's probably might have made a difference, you know, if they'd had children, he'd have been worried about, you know.
It was so poignant last night, you know, to hear someone in a share to say there was something that he'd read in the big book that made him think of coming back after a relapse. There was a little glimmer of hope from passages that he remembered when he was reading it for the first time, that those stuck in his mind. So without copies of the big book, you know, and some people can't get to meetings, you know, it is life-saving.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there was 100 of them involved in writing the book. Bill Wilson was the primary author, and they decided to call the book Alcoholics Anonymous, and that gave the, you know, so the title of the book became, you know, the name of the organisation. They didn't have a name before that. And, you know, it's gone on, sort of the Alcoholics Anonymous grew massively following the publication of the book. You know, the book drove the growth, and it has continued to do so, and I think it's over 30 million copies have been sold, and it's selling, you know, 1 million or 2 million a year, something like that, according to Wikipedia, last time I checked. So it's one of the largest selling books ever.
That's good.
Plenty of and it continues, so yeah, certainly. I was speaking to a sponsor yesterday about starting a big book study meeting, you know, because you know, the Thursday CA meeting was a big book study meeting, and then we changed it to a share meeting, and it became much more popular, and treatment centres come, but we miss the book study. You know, we miss it. So maybe look at getting one going, because it's important. And it's got that kind of depth to it, that you pick up on nuances, you know, depending on where you are in your life, you know, it kind of speaks to you in different ways, you know, in new ways. And obviously I have a detailed, in-depth knowledge of the big books, pretty useful, communicating the, you know, carrying the message of the 12 steps.
Thanks, Sam.
Bloody blah.
Have a lovely Sunday, everyone.
So, yeah, and yeah, pick up the big book, read a couple of pages, phone an alcoholic or an addict, you know, share your energy, and stay away from that first drink.
Have a great day. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. And just to add, Sam's pointed out that there's a Steps and Traditions meeting, which is a book study on Wednesday evenings.
In Charlton Kings.
In Charlton Kings, which I have Wednesday evenings off, so I didn't think about that one.
You were thinking more of CA, weren't you?
Yeah, I was just thinking about it in the context of CA, yeah.
Okay, have a great day.
Thanks.
You know, because then, you know, like in America or something, then you get a different view. And that would be quite, or New Zealand, you know. And then you don't have to travel. And it's literally 1 hour.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're going down to Cheltenham, you know, it's like 2 hours, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of lends itself to Zoom, perhaps, you know, where you're not necessarily looking for that kind of emotional connection, you're just studying the book.
Yeah, and get someone else's point of view.